Welcome to episode 3 of It Takes a Village, a podcast for college-bound families by Olin College of Engineering's Admission and Financial Aid team. My name is Dan.
And I'm Alia. Olin, like many colleges, practices holistic admission review, meaning that students' applications are not reduced to mere numbers, like their GPA or test scores, then run through a formula to determine if they get in or not. This is great because we get to know applicants as the multifaceted students and people they are, but it can also be a little confusing. I think many students appreciate that we look at the whole student, and at the same time, it feels fuzzier, like there's almost some comfort in a more rigid black and white approach where you know exactly what to expect. So we always get a ton of questions about the holistic admission process and how we approach it. Now, add in COVID-19, which has upended so much of high school, college, and just life in general, and people have more questions than ever.
So we went straight to the source to get some answers. We were thrilled to speak with admission leaders from three colleges: Emily Roper-Doughton, Dean of Admission and Financial Aid here at Olin College of Engineering; Courtney Minden, Vice President of Enrollment Management and Dean of Admissions and Financial Aid at Babson College; and Joy St. John, Dean of Admission and Financial Aid at Wellesley College. These three colleges make up the BOW collaboration. This collaboration enables students to cross-register, participate in clubs and activities, and build community across all three schools. Please enjoy this conversation we had with Emily, Courtney, and Joy.
Okay, we'll start off with Emily for this first question. Can you briefly explain the goals and priorities of the admission process at your institution?
Absolutely. So I think every admission process is first and foremost about creating a group of students that can be successful in the classrooms at your institution and will engage and contribute to the culture. So the admission process has to mirror what your needs are in terms of the academics and cultural sort of needs and norms of your community. So for Olin, we're certainly looking for students who are thinking about STEM. They want to major in engineering. They should have some pretty significant exposure to math and science in high school, sort of a leaning toward the majors in engineering or at a minimum STEM. But we're also a hands-on collaborative place. And so in addition to just looking at kind of the academics, we're also thinking about has the student worked with others? Are they interested in problem solving? Engineering is really creative. And so thinking about, is this someone who has a natural bent toward creativity, or they've done creative things in the past? And so it's both about the academic ability of the student, but also the cultural fit for the type of academic and residential environment that we are.
Okay. So in terms of the goals and priorities of Babson, I think, you know, in this time we're in right now, it's very rare that we can say something's constant. And in this case, our goals are constant and consistent. And a lot like what Emily said, you know, we are looking for a field of students who are here to learn and to perpetuate entrepreneurial leadership. So, you know, in terms of our goals being the same, I feel like our goals are illuminated more than ever because, you know, right now is the time where we need the entrepreneurial leaders. We need the disruptors. We need the people to be able to pivot on a dime and rethink rethink business and education and government and society in general, and realize that what might have worked before is not necessarily going to be the way of the future. So, but that hasn't changed. We're still going to be looking for those students who are, you know, engaged in the classroom, who are interested in an education that is team-based and that is collaborative. We are looking for students who want to be lifelong learners and who are going to realize that Babson is more than 4 years. It is a mindset that you're going to have for the rest of your life. What is really different is how we're going to go about doing it. And that is where really the disruption is happening. I keep sort of saying that when there is disruption, and you'll notice that is one of the Babson favorite words, right next to entrepreneurial, but it's easier to spell. But when in time of disruption, when things go back to normal, they don't really go back to normal. I always liken it to when the power goes out, the ice cream never really tastes the same again. It's always a little icy in the refreezing process. And that's sort of what we're looking at right now. The same kind of students, but possibly a different way of getting there.
Thank you. So I'd like to hear a little bit more about this disruption that you're talking about, because I know even in, you know, normal times, people have a lot of questions, sometimes fears and anxieties about the admission process. Can you talk a little bit more about how has the COVID-19 pandemic impacted the admission process at your schools and in general?
I think the biggest thing to change is that we've had to move our delivery systems onto a completely virtual platform. And the last day that we were in the office in the traditional sense was 3 days after the decisions went out in March. And that was, you know, that was the end of one cycle, the beginning of another that has only stayed virtual since, you know, in the past 6 months. We started with having to do what I call the virtual April, where we tried to convince admitted students to enroll on the Zoom WebEx platform. That went into virtual summer, where a period where we would have hundreds of visitors in a given week, maybe thousands, went to zero. And so how do we reach out to incoming seniors and even actually incoming sophomores and juniors during a time of the traditional get in the car with your parents and or guardians and, you know, see, you know, 20 schools in 4 days and you see whether you're speaking to each other at the end. Now we are in virtual fall. So I actually had a colleague say to me today, a couple of us are in the office, and he said, yeah, I was on my way out to lunch, and he said, yep, I just got back from Philadelphia and I'm on my way to Seattle, and I think by the end of the day I'll be in Florida, because he's doing all of his school visits from his desk. And we are going from school to school, from community-based organization to parent panels, and it's all virtual. But what is a good impact? What is actually something that has come out of this as a learning moment is the fact that by going virtual, we've actually kind of brought down a big wall of access, an access barrier. There. Now, you know, in the summer, yes, we had hundreds of visitors, but those are the people with the time and the resources to come onto our campus. We're also 26% international students. So, you know, if you do the math, the majority of our inquiries could never make it to campus. So we have made our way into their worlds. And I think, and I'm actually really proud of that. And I'm really proud that we are going to be able to reach students in a very different way, but a much more accessible way.
I would agree. I think there's a lot of interesting things that people are doing, institutions are doing to try to bring a visit experience to students, meeting them sort of where they are and finding out what are they looking for? What do they want? How do they want to engage? What do they want to learn about? And so finding ways to, you know, get our faculty on board with allowing students into their Zoom classrooms, or thinking about what are the ways in which, you know, bring back the pen pal program, right? Like making sure that there's ways for students to engage one-on-one in a virtual format when they're not able to linger after the tour and ask all of their questions. And in the same way that they maybe did before, that they're not allowed to sit in the dining hall and be a fly on the wall. What are the ways that we can recreate those? Can you create serendipity, you know, in the things that you see when you're just walking down a hallway on a campus, or you're sitting in a dining hall overhearing a conversation? How can we create virtual engagements for students in their search process that allow them to have some of those moments where they discover something interesting that's not just something that we've kind of fed to them? So, you know, I know that we were experimenting a lot with different formats for information sessions or engagement with prospective students. And one of the things I was so heartened by this spring and summer was our own enrolled students were looking for such a sense of normalcy in somewhere in their lives. They were like, please, can we do tours? Please, can we talk to prospective students? We want to be reminded of all the things we love about this place. And so, you know, that hunger to engage with prospective students was really there. And I think that one thing that I always want students and families to try to remember is there's a weird gift in this pandemic time. And part of it is a gift of time to think about, why do you want to go to college? How do you like to learn? What are the things you want to do? And that you can actually visit more schools than you might have ever visited in a traditional format, you know. And you know, as Courtney mentioned, sort of that who has the time and resources for every family out there thinking about college, you can visit schools on opposite sides of the country within 2 hours, you know. And and in a way that you never could before because of that physical distance, but you're able to actually try on different institutions in ways that you might not have thought that you could, because every college is thinking about how do we get online? How do we get students to understand our experiences? So you can actually have a very different and potentially broader set of virtual experiences than you would have had in person. And so letting yourself do that research so that you can say that this felt really interesting. I want to go find another place that has that particular feel to it. So, you know, kind of leaning in and recognizing the benefit of this interesting time that you wouldn't have had before.
Yeah, I think it's such a unique opportunity. Thank you for pointing that out. I think that's really great. So I guess now we'll get into the process here. And certainly one of the biggest questions that I'm sure every admission counselor across the world is getting has to do with institutions becoming test optional. So and what that means. So perhaps can you expand, maybe kind of try to help us understand a little bit more, what does it mean to be test optional, and what does it mean for your institution as being test optional?
Sure. So I think one of the things that's important to remember in when it comes to any requirement for applying to college is that you do need to do the research for each individual institution, because oftentimes the answer is it depends. It depends on how the institution is implementing test optional and what does it mean in their process. So I think for many, many schools, it means that the students have the ability to submit testing that can be reviewed as part of their application, or they have the ability to submit an application without testing, and the college will review the materials that they submit to determine whether or not they'll be admitted. And so I think for Olin, we're really looking at we're spending a lot of time thinking about what does it mean for us to not have testing as part of our process, and what is that, how will we understand a student's academic performance and preparation with and without testing? So we've obviously done it with testing in the past, and we're thinking about what are the ways that we understand a student's academic background independent of having that other metric that, yes, we have had in the past, but what does it tell us? So we think a lot about, we're going to be thinking a lot this season about what do we understand about these students' academic, we always, the big rock in the process, right? We are always relying on the transcript to tell us the biggest part of the story. What has a student done in the classroom over 3 years? What courses are they taking? Where do we see strengths in their curriculum? And we use testing on a regular basis to sort of round that information out. If the testing is an independent of their high school piece of academic information, we might sort of say, okay, what do we learn about the student's academic preparation when we don't have the testing? Maybe we're going to look pretty deeply at the recommendations, or we're going to look at what academic activities the students have participated in, or we're going to see how the student is talking about their academic interests in an essay or something like that. So it's a little bit of how do we round the information out that we get from the transcript through the other pieces of the application that they have. This is definitely not a circumstance where you're going to find an admission officer taking the time to think, well, did they have testing that they just didn't send to us, right? Like, this is not a gotcha moment. This is really about the health and safety of students and their families and our school communities. And so really think it's challenging admission officers to think about what does testing give us? What do we, and how do we evaluate without that as part of the process? That it's not a, what is the substitution? How do we figure that out? What do we put in its place? What does someone send us instead of that? But how do we sort of understand the student's preparation and potential for our success in our classrooms based on the information that we have?
Yeah. So Babson has decided to go test optional for 1 year, and we'll reevaluate after this cycle. And I would not place any bets one way or the other. It's still too early to tell. But we made the decision early on for probably the same reasons that Olin and Wellesley did, in that it, you know, the health and safety and accessibility of the test just wasn't there. And so we are optional for all populations. So athletes, it's optional. International students, it's optional. The only population that testing is going to be required is for our transfer students, because they would have had an opportunity to submit tests or to take the test a few years back. We are going to really be looking at curriculum and grades as a result. You know, at Babson, math is a really important skill set to have. We have a you know, quite a quantitative curriculum, not unlike Olin. So pre-calculus has always been sort of the baseline of whether a student can be successful in that curriculum. So without the math testing to reinforce that, we will be looking at the math a lot more than that. But other than that, I've been recommending students and parents to think about tests. They think it tells a positive part of their story. If it can add to the application in a positive way, then submit it. If you can't take the test or the test doesn't tell your story, well, this is your chance to just move forward without it and spend your time accentuating the strengths of your application.
Right. So at Wellesley, we've taken a similar approach. We've suspended the requirement for this year because we appreciate that there will be many reasons why a student may not be able to submit standardized testing. And we don't want students to have to make choices that aren't right for them and for their families in order to be able to consider Wellesley as a college option. I echo everything that Courtney and Emily have said. I think we appreciate that there are many variables in applications that will be different this year. And we really, at Wellesley, have taken the approach that we really just need to start from scratch in terms of how we think about and consider applications. This isn't one element that we are adjusting, but it really requires a different approach because we have always evaluated applications in a way that really paid attention to the context of a student's opportunities and experiences and environments. But this year, that will be even more true than it's ever been, which really does mean when you're trying to make comparisons between students who are going to have very different circumstances, you need to rethink the way that you approach evaluating and selecting students. And so one of the things that we just tried to do to accommodate these changes, test optional, a lack of letter grades in some instances, is really to build a hypothesis of the best way we think we're going to assess and evaluate applications, but do much more regular checking in and calibration and delivering feedback. And whether or not a student has testing and, you know, what the transcript looks like or what the circumstances are for that student, we'll have to be evaluating. And perhaps by the time we get to the end, we'll have a sense of the best approach to students in this circumstance, but I don't think that we're going into it assuming that we're just gonna, you know, set up some kind of index of how we're gonna do our assessment and then move on through without going back and reflecting and calibrating.
Thank you. I think everything you all said will be really reassuring to a lot of students and their families, so thank you. All right, I would like to ask, what advice would you give to families of students applying to college during the pandemic?
I'll start. I would say that, yes, this is a different year. It's going to have a different feel. It's going to have a sort of a different set of questions and concerns. Just how we've been rolling the past 6 months, a lot of uncertainty and a lot of solution seeking in the moment. And that's okay. Let's just own that. But also don't overthink what the primary goal of this process, the application journey, as well as the, you know, trying to figure out your college choice, that still remains the same. You know, we started this podcast talking about how the goal is the same, to field a campus community that feels like the community of our respective and our mission of our respective schools. That's still the mission, that's still the goal. Going test optional, having students, more students than usual deferring, or, you know, not being able to have conversations in person, are all things that we are adjusting to and we're working around. We are not using these changes as a way to disadvantage anyone in this process. If anything, I think it's kind of democratized a lot of our process and given the students a voice that wouldn't necessarily have a voice before the application process was complete. We're seeing them in their homes in a whole three time zones away, and that's awesome. I would like to be back here, and I would like to be doing the traditional application process, but never has me or my team, my colleagues ever thought, oh, wow, this is a great opportunity to make sure less students get into college. Never, and it never will.
Yeah, I think my best advice to students and families is the same advice I'm actually giving my team. We have to be flexible and accept the limitations that exist within this environment and do the best that we can under these conditions and identify ways in which we can innovate or find new opportunities that wouldn't otherwise exist. I think it would be very challenging for a family if they spent too much time mourning how it might have been without COVID. And I'm not saying that there won't be a time for that mourning later, but I don't see how that serves an individual student. And I have also, been telling students and, parents who ask me, both current students and prospective students, forward momentum, right? That's what you do in crisis, forward momentum. Keep going and, take the opportunities as they exist, because these students are building different skills than their peers built in exploring their college options, than I built in exploring my college options. And from those new skills may come some really unique opportunities or, some development that will really accelerate or sustain students in new and unique ways. But if you spend all of your time mourning what would have been and sort of fighting the conditions that we're under, I think it's hard to get to that place where there can be, any positive to come out of it. And so, what are we doing? What new opportunities do students have available to get to know and to understand schools and institutions? What do we have available today? Don't look too far down the line about what might be available later, but how can we maximize what we have today and kind of let this, let the circumstances of this pandemic really take us, let's say, to the best place that we could get to as a family. That is my advice.
I think my one little piece to add would be just don't forget that you're the same person you were before this started. And so thinking about how you can still represent the person that you are, the things that you love, the passions that you have in an application, even, sort of despite the fact that this has sort of been happening in the world. And so I think it's often really easy to look at things like, there are some wonderful additions to most of the major application platforms about sort of how did the COVID-19 pandemic affect your experience? And that might be the loss of a job in a family. It might be the change of a grading policy at a high school. There's lots of different ways in which someone could interpret some of those questions. But I think the presence of that question can sometimes then signal that a student has to somehow talk about COVID in what it sort of did, in their lives. And so I think just because the space is there for a student to indicate things that were changed, and many students will have really significant things that happened to them that signaling, this piece of my life was affected really significantly by COVID. It also doesn't mean that the student has to think about their personal statement as what I did on my COVID vacation. I think there's something to be said for what do you want us to know is the thing that you want the admission team to know about you, about the bigger picture you and sort of who you are and where you see your life going and what you're interested in and excited about. Or is it that immediate moment? And for some students, there might be something in that immediate sort of acute time of COVID that has signaled something really big for them. But really sort of thinking about this is more than you're doing it in this time, but you are bigger than this time.
Great. Thank you. Thank you all so much for being here. We really appreciate it. And we are sure that families will as well.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, it was fun, and we hope it's helpful.
Good luck and be well out there.